This interview was recorded for the Dersingham Millennium History Project on the 11th of December, 1998. Please can I have your full name?
Edith Mabel Gilson.
And your name is?
Maisie Dimitrievich.
And how long have you both been in the village?
We're born here.
Do any other members of your families live in the village?
I've got a half cousin live in the village, that's all. Yes, I've got a son and two daughters live in the village.
Now, I'd like you to tell me anything you can that you can remember about your childhood and growing up in this village, Edith.
Well, we had a happy childhood. We used to play on the common. On the shut up common, we used to go out in the morning with jam sandwiches and a piece of cake, and we'd play cricket and rounders until that was tea time, and we'd come home. In the school holidays, yeah, and we used to go Saturdays and at night sometimes. John played for it and Billy played for it, and we were brought up round there in Manor Road with them.
And basically you just played?
Yeah, we did, yeah.
Was it all ball games, or did you sort of explore? Or?
Oh yeah, we used to, there was an old tip there, and we found a mudguard of a bus. And we sat in this mudguard and slid down.
Whereabouts was this?
On the shut up common. There was a great old big tip.
A dump, we used to call it,
the dump. And my mother had a coat made for me. I don't know who made it, somebody did. And as I got out of this thing, I ripped my coat from top to bottom. And you remember Dan Grief, Maisie?
Yes.
He lived next door to us, and he went home and told my mother, so she knew before I got home. And she wasn't really very pleased.
Because
I got wrong.
Because I would imagine, because people didn't have a lot of money, did they?
No, we didn't.
So a coat for you must have been...
Yes, was quite a thing to have it made for me. My mother had it made. I don't know who made it, but she had it made for me, and I ripped it from top to bottom.
Because there weren't shops to buy clothes much, was there?
No, we didn't have a lot of money.
Parkers used to sell clothes, didn't they?
Yeah, but they were quite expensive.
You know, it's Cranes now.
Yeah. Go on, you say.
No, I just say Mrs. Parker, she used to sell clothes,
Right, because when you went to... So did you just have school clothes and plain clothes, basically?
We never had any uniform, did we?
No.
Not in those days. We just had the ordinary clothes that we went, you know, just ordinary clothes. And we always used to have Sunday clothes. Weekly clothes and Sunday clothes.
And what did you do on Sundays?
We used to go to chapel. I went to the Wesleyan chapel, I think. Yeah, we used to have to go to chapel. And when the anniversary came, we used to have to stand up and say our piece. I tore mine up one day and my mother stuck it together again.
Did you have to learn the piece, or?
Yes.
What, by heart?
Yes.
And what would the piece be?
Oh, could be anything. About the birds, the bees, or anything, you know, nature or anything, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
You didn't?
Yes, we did. I went to the chapel in Chapel Road. Edie went to the one in Post Office Road.
Now, why would...
The Wesleyan. The one in Post Office Road was the Wesleyan Chapel, and the one in Chapel Road was the Methodist.
And was there a kind of an ante at all?
Not really, no. No.
It was just that your parents...
Well, just there were two separate chapels for some reason. I lived in Chapel Road, so I went to that one. Edie lived in Manor Road, so it was closer for her to go to Post Office Road, you know.
But basically the religion...
Yes, more or
was
less.
...was more or less the same.
Yes.
Right, so you went to chapel. So what else can you remember doing when you were young? Did you have to help your mum?
You're older than I am, so you can...
Yeah,
you know, yours go back further.
Yeah, but you can remember things as well.
I will think things as well.
I can't remember a lot more. I mean, because... Then we moved from Manor Road and lived next door to Maisie, you see.
As I say, there was a big divide from that side of the village to this side of the village.
It was almost as if it was two separate
villages?
That's
right, yes. And the boys, my My son-in-law was telling me how when they used to play football, when they were Dodds Hill, they'd play the village or Station Road or something, you know, they'd, yeah, all divided up.
Right.
Yeah, and they'd get a match, you know, the two, yeah.
So it was much more, you know, we live in that part of the village, yes. Almost as if they were sort of enemies.
Well, I don't know about that. It was just, you know, as I say, if they had a football match. And, mm-hmm.
Very competitive.
Yes.
Can you remember, I mean, did you have to do things for your parents? Because a lot of the boys used to have jobs. Did you used to?
Yeah, I used to do errands for an old lady who lived next door. I used to get a penny for going to the post office. And then when I got back, she'd remember something else and I had to go back again. I got a penny, sometimes tuppence.
And was the post office where it is now?
Yes.
And they just sold basically stamps and things, I suppose. It wasn't...
The post office has been changed. It's been built on. You know the small building at the side? I don't know if you... where we sort the letters?
Yes.
That was the post office, which is a long, thin, narrow...
Oh, right.
Almost a passage, isn't it, really?
And that was it?
That was the post office, yes.
And all you bought, really, was stamps?
Were stamps and postal things, yes.
I see. So it then eventually became much more like a shop?
Yes.
Right. And what else did you used to do at home to help your mum?
Not a lot. I was a tomboy. Dreadful tomboy. I used to love to be out. We used to have some chickens at the top of the garden. That's where I used to spend a lot of my time, digging the chicken chowd over. I loved chickens, I still do. Yeah.
Oh, were you an only child?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. I used to love being in the chicken yard, digging the chickens yard over. And old chickens would pick the worms up. I used to love that. I was a proper tomboy.
So really you should have been a boy?
I was no lady. No, I'm still not. Still not. No, I should have been a boy, yes.
And then when you left school, what did you do then?
When I left school, I worked for Mr. Plaife at the insurance man. He lived along the Lynn Road. He's still alive. I think he's over 90. I worked for him from 8:30 in the morning till 6:30 at night, for 2 and 6 a week, looking after his two children.
Oh, you were, I see, you were a sort of nanny.
Well, no, you'd not in those days, you wouldn't call it nanny, just to help with the children.
That was a long day.
I got 2 and 6 pence a week.
Did the insurance man just go from house to house in those days?
Yeah.
And what kind of insurance was it?
Prudential.
So, was it savings or was it just in case you died?
Well, yes, yeah. Like it is now, yes. Prudential, yeah.
For anything, house or anything,
yes,
wasn't it?
That's
yeah,
right.
It
was covered all.
No,
yes.
not just if you died. No.
Oh, I see. That was like a saving. Yeah.
The full insurance. They come round now as well. Don't
for
they?
The house, Rachel. Like if your house burned down.
Yes,
or
yes. Contents or your house or, as you say, if you died or, yes.
So, when did you first become the post lady?
I think I started in the January, as Barry was 5 in the May.
So how old should you have been?
I think I was about... I think I was about 29. Because right. I was 24 when Barry was born, and she would have been 5 in the May. And I had to come home off the post round early to take her to school, I can remember. But that was when I did Shernburn.
Now what, I mean, you've seen an awful lot of changes in the village on your post round, no doubt. In what way have you found it different now?
You can answer that one.
Well, now you answer that. No, it isn't a village anymore, is it?
It's not so nice. It's not.
There
as
isn't
nice.
A village.
Not a village. It's not as nice. Well, yes, it is nice because a lot of the people who come in the village are nice, yes, but they're not like the ones that we that were the ones that we know. There isn't many of the village ones left. There is quite a few, but the ones that we know are, you know, the ones that we like the most, because we don't know the others.
Of course. I mean, you grew up with them, didn't you?
Yes.
So it was inevitable. Yeah. But, I mean, how did your day go when you were a post lady? I mean, were you out all day?
No. We started work at 6:10 and finished anything.
But you delivered, Edie delivered around Schoenborn and Red Barn.
Yeah, I did Schoenborn and Red Barn for 17 years.
And you used to have to cycle out there, did you?
Yes, I did, yes.
With your big bag?
Yes. Had to walk when it was slippery, walk across the fields.
So really, it was a very hard...
And when the ice, you had to light up.
Yeah, I had to... People always laugh and wouldn't believe this, but I used to have to take some matches and a piece of paper with me, because my freewheel would freeze when that was cold, and I had to thaw it out with the matches and a piece of paper.
What, your freewheel?
Freewheel of my bicycle. And my feet had been so cold biking to Schoenborn that I couldn't feel them on the pedals at all, because I had water boots on. I couldn't feel my feet, I was just sort of pedalling, but my feet were so cold that I couldn't even feel them.
People wouldn't put up with it today,
no.
Would they?
And then you met the Duke.
Oh, I met the Duke of Edinburgh, yeah.
Oh, when was this?
Going up the hill, Dursingham Way. Wallace Twite, they were shooting. Wallace Twite stood on the top of the hill, and he said, "Be very careful, that's slippery." I said, "Thank you." I got to the top of the hill, and this man sort of stood, and as I got to the top of the hill, he turned round. He said, "Oh, please be careful." He said, "That's so slippery." And I said, "Right, thank you." And that was Duke of Edinburgh.
Oh, very, very honoured.
He was only a young man then.
Yes. So, as you went round, you must have gone to a lot of the little old cottages.
All old cottages.
Yeah. Did you ever have to help people?
Yes.
Tell us,
used to do shopping for them.
What, some of the old people who couldn't get out?
Yes, used to bring things for them. Baby's bottles and dummy tits and all sorts I used to buy. They used to put a piece of cardboard up in the window at Schoenborn, and then I knew they wanted me to bring something back for them. I wasn't supposed to do it, but I did.
Of course, there weren't any shops.
There was no shops, you see. No. Bob Steele's wife, I used to bring bits for her. Bits of shopping sometimes for people. But I couldn't bring a lot. One woman... asked me if I'd bring her a shopping order from Parker's, Mrs. Dawes, Red Barn.
Yes.
I said, "No, I can't." Oh, I said, "I'll take your order, but I can't put it on my bike."
So how on earth did these people cope if there was nowhere to shop?
Well, they did.
I lived there.
You did?
Well, yes. No, you...
Right, well, I mean, how did you, what did you do?
I was born in Dursingham. When I was married, my husband worked on Mr. Lewis's farm. And first we lived at a place called Ling House. Do you know what that
is?
Yes. Yes. They've pulled the cottages down now. We lived there for, oh, I'd say about 4 years maybe. And about 4 or 5, we then, for Mr. Lewis the same, we lived at Schoenborn. Yes, we managed. We had a, Lambert's had a van come round, you know, Lambert's from Snettisham. They had a grocery van. Came round, on the Monday, he would take the order. And on the Wednesday, they would bring the groceries. And then if, you know, we ran out of anything, we used to cycle down to the village.
So people in those days didn't go into King's Lynn?
Oh, yes. Yes, there was a bus went from Ling House just down a little lane, and we were in Anmer. And there was a bus on a Tuesday and a Saturday. Yeah. And the same with Schoenborn. There was a bus on a Tuesday and Saturday. Yes. Yes.
Because, I mean, for the... people here, it was the train that was so useful, wasn't it?
Mm. That'd have been a godsend now to have that railway station.
Yeah.
Because of all the people that live down there now, I'm sure they would have used it a lot. So we used to take Gwenny Gelder, Beryl Davison, and I used to take the kids to Hunstanton on the train in the guards van in the pram when they were only small.
And of course you could get, not, I mean, I know it ended at Hunstanton, but going the other way, you could get into Lynn, and then from there you could go almost anywhere, couldn't you?
You could, yeah.
So did you make use of the train quite a bit?
Yes, I did, yeah.
Can you remember any of your particular outings you made?
We used to go to London for the day, but we used to go to Hunstanton for the day.
When you say London for the day, that must have been a long job in those days.
Oh, yeah, it was quite long, yeah.
I mean, how long was the journey?
Very dirty journey.
What, about 3 or 4 hours?
If you had any nice clothes on, you'd be all blacks and soot by the time you got home.
Yes. Well, but partly because of the train, and because partly of the train. Because of the city.
No, the smoke from the train. Yes. Yes.
So the steam trains, you see. No?
Yes. Mm. So can you remember when they decided to stop the trains, how the village felt about it?
No, I wasn't living there. Oh. Yes, I was. Yeah.
I can't remember that. I don't think people.
So
thought
there wasn't an awful lot of people just.
I don't
that
think
was
there
it.
Was a lot of fuss, was there? Not enough fuss, really.
Well,
just
no,
took it,
because people thought they couldn't do anything about it once he'd made up his mind. Mm.
That was Mr. Beeching.
Mr. Beeching. Once he'd made up his mind to close it down, there was nothing people could do.
No. No.
But I used to use it a lot. I used to go on the train a lot. As I say, we used to take the children to the beach in the pram. We used to go in the guards van. They were only small. We used to take them in the guards van. Gwenny and Bear and I.
And go for nice little outings.
Yeah. It didn't cost much. To take the prams. That didn't cost much to take the prams in the guards van.
And you were telling me something about gypsies.
Oh, Brenda Collison. Brenda Collison's nan, I think it was, used to make scones and cakes for these gypsies. I suppose they used to camp down there every so often. And Brenda was the one that they used to have the cakes, have a nan used to make the cakes, and Brenda used to put them in a tin, and Brenda was the one who used to have to go through the gate and deliver them to the gypsies.
Now, where were the gypsies
were down on the common. Down, there must have been, I thought she said down the bottom of the common, and she used to take the tin with the cakes in, and she befriended this little Rowan, I think his name was, a gypsy boy, and Mr. Carr was the headmaster then, and they took him to school, and he learnt to write his own name. He was only at school a month, but he learnt to do a bit of reading, and he learnt to write his own name in that month. Mr. Carr didn't mind at all.
Were these gypsies buying these cakes, or did the mother...
No, they just made them and gave them to them, I expect. I don't think they
bought
them.
Because they felt sorry for them?
Yes, I think so, yes.
And where did the gypsies come from?
No idea.
They just used to appear on the common?
Yeah. So Brenda said, yeah.
Because we wouldn't be so generous probably today, would we?
No. Well, you wouldn't. I don't know whether you trust the gypsies today, but Brenda said these were quite harmless.
They were probably the real Romanys.
Real Romany ones, I should think, yeah.
And the children never really got an education, did they? Yeah. Apart from if there was a teacher who would have them.
Because they moved on too much.
Yes, yes. Now, did you ever belong to any, apart from chapel, anything? Brownies or anything? No?
Yeah, I got the guides, yes.
You belong to the guides?
Yes.
And was there quite a lot of guides in those days?
Yes, yes.
Much more than today?
Yes. We used to use the vicarage a lot in those days.
Now, you're talking about the old vicarage?
The old vicarage, yes.
Which was the building?
At the top, yes. Where Mr. Fife lived, yeah.
Right. Mm. Now, what would you say were the worst times you can remember in this village?
Not really, was it?
Can't say that we ever had any.
Because during the war, you know, everyone was so friendly, and there was always something going on every evening. You know, war effort, there were dances and concerts and socials and raising money all the time, wasn't there?
Oh, so the functions were to raise money?
That's right, for the war effort.
And where did the money actually go to? The War Office?
I don't know, no. That was for the war effort, so I...
So presumably buying guns and army uniforms?
I don't know about that. But we had soldiers here from the beginning of the war till the end of the war.
Yes, yes, so I understand.
The Newfoundlanders were here. They were one of the nicest lot, weren't they?
Yeah.
And the Canadians.
Nice men.
Yeah, they were lovely. They were really nice. But can't say that we ever really... We had one or two bombs dropped, didn't we? But nothing much, did we? Not to say... when we worked at the flax, they dropped them on the field at the back there.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't say that we ever... I can't say that we ever suffered during the war, did we?
No, no.
Not to say really...
Not even a food shortage, you know.
We
not.
All managed.
Yes. Our mothers managed, you know, because they were good cooks and they could manage, and we had vegetables on the garden and, you know, really. Yeah.
And you don't think people panicked the way they would do today?
Oh, no.
No.
You just went on living.
That's right, yes.
Can you remember when we lived?
I panicked a bit. I remember when I was a little girl, I panicked when we first had to wear the gas masks.
Oh.
And I was worried about my mother and father because my father said, well, I'm not going to wear one. And I remember when I was at school, I was ever so worried, you know, because he said he wouldn't wear one. And, you know, we were expecting to be gassed, I suppose.
Yes. Yeah.
Can you remember when we lived next door to you when my mother heard the church bells and said it was gas?
Yes.
Yeah. And got us all out of bed.
Yeah.
And that was a false alarm. My mother said, oh, the church bells are ringing, that's gas. And she got... us all up in the row, didn't she? I think old Lady Riches and everybody. My mother made a mistake. She put, she said, oh, that's gas, and we all had to get up.
Did your parents think you were going to be gassed by gas bombs or something? I mean, where was the gas coming from?
Yes, I suppose gas bombs, yes, that would be, wouldn't it?
And you'd all been taught how to wear these things?
Yes, oh yes, we had a practice, you know, we had to wear these gas masks, yes.
But you only had to wear them if there was a warning.
That's right, yes.
So you never really got to wear them?
No, thank goodness, no. No.
So you can't think of, apart from the war, of anything?
No, no. Was it General Montgomery came to Dursingham?
When was that?
When I was a little girl. No, there's only one man in Dursingham that I spoke to. That I thought, well, who can I... talked to about that because nobody else seemed to remember it.
Now, was this before the war or at the end of the war?
During the war.
During the war.
When his regiment were billeted in Dursingham. The Desert Rats.
The Desert Rats were here?
Were in Dursingham, yes. And they were, as you know, in the Old Hall. And I suppose at the school as well, weren't they, Edie? They would be.
They were up at St George's.
Yes. Yeah. And he came to inspect his regiment. And we were little... because I'm a lot younger than Edie. We were young, and I can remember standing on that corner near Sugar Lane, you know where the field is?
Yes.
With my friends, and we saw him come and inspect his troops.
Gosh.
Yeah. And that was a highlight, you know,
yes.
Really. Big thing, yeah.
Yes. I haven't come across a picture of that. I dare
no,
say
there isn't
somebody.
A picture. The only other person is Mr. Nobes, who lives next to the... you know where the video shop was?
Yes.
Billy Andrews. You know there's a house that goes back?
Yes. And he can remember seeing...
Mr. Dobes. Now, he knows quite a bit about the village.
Right.
What's his name? Murray, isn't it? Morris Dobes, yeah.
Now, what... you've said that the biggest changes you've seen is the fact that it's grown and grown and grown.
Yes.
So what would you like to see happen here in the future, in the new millennium?
Not really. That's a nice village.
Not a lot.
Yes.
No,
I mean,
trend,
we complain,
really.
But... I mean, for elderly people, we've got everything, haven't we? And
yes.
Even the bus service has improved.
Yes.
A lot, you know. I've been on the bus once or twice lately, and that's improved a lot. And we've got all the shops we need. We've got the post office and Budgeons and Faxters. We've got and Butchers and... really, we've got everything, haven't we?
So really, it's a much more convenient village now.
Yeah, I mean, we complain, but, yeah.
So although, you know, you...
but I don't think we spent the money in those days, did we, Edie?
No, we didn't have
no,
the money
No, the shops,
spent.
We,
we,
you
didn't
know,
have the money. To, I mean...
our mothers would perhaps write the shop order out once a week, and that would be that, wouldn't it?
And, I mean, what did your father do for a living?
My father was a butcher. My father was a butcher when we lived in Manor Road, opposite the Coach and Horses. And then he worked up at the flax for a long while, but he was a butcher. When I was a young girl, he was a butcher.
Now, you've shown us a photograph of the flax factory.
Well, that's which the workmen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which has been just standing empty and derelict for a long time now. But did quite a lot of Dersing people work yes. there? And how did they get there?
By bus.
Oh, there was a little bus?
Yes. They used to be the Hunstanton shift, and they'd come from Hunstanton and Heacham and Snettisham, didn't they?
Yeah.
Inglethorpe, and did they come from Bickford?
Hillington and all round there, didn't they?
No, that was the Lynn shift.
The Lynn, yeah, there's all.
There was the Hunstanton shift and the Lynn shift. We'd be on nights one week and days the next.
And what were you actually making?
Well, they grew the flax to make into linen, to make linen.
So it was a linen factory?
Well, it was a...
It wasn't made there.
It wasn't made.
Just the fibre was taken away, wasn't it, Edie?
Yeah. And did they grow flax in the fields all round?
Yes.
Everywhere, didn't they? Yeah. Everywhere. The farmers all grew flax.
So how long has the flax factory been deserted? I've never known anybody in it since I've lived in the village.
Did your dad see the finish? Yes, didn't he? So when your dad retired, at what age, Edie? 60-something.
Yeah.
And he'd have been 100 and...
He'd have been 106 now or something, like 104.
Right. So it would probably be the early 60s when the flax factory closed.
50s, late 50s.
I can't really say for sure. Mm. I can't be sure about that.
And was it part of royal land?
Yes.
So the Sandringham estate owned the flax factory?
That's right.
Flax factory.
Yes.
Now, down the very end of the main road, before you come out, there's Mrs. Bell's house on the side. Has that been here a very long time?
Yes. As long as I can remember. My mother worked for a Captain Martin, wasn't it, Edie?
Yes.
My mother worked for him for a time, so...
So that's one of the original village houses?
That's an old village house,
because
yeah.
I did... And... Who owns the woods across from it?
Well, yes, they belong to Mrs. Bell. They did, didn't they, Edie?
Part of it does,
yes.
Yeah.
I think some of it's been sold.
Some of it belonged to Mr. Hendry, didn't it?
Yes.
Oh, I don't
know. Originally, I think they belonged to the...
So that property owned all that land and sort of coming this way as well?
No, I don't know, Edie. It was Life Lane Wood, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I don't really know who owned it all.
No.
But Mary Bell's father, I think. What was his name?
No, I didn't know. Oh. Bird.
Yeah.
So when you used to deliver the post to there was a gap then, presumably. There were no houses until they came.
I didn't deliver. That was part of start of Inglethorpe, I think.
That wood used to come along when I was a little girl. It used to be a wood right along, didn't it, Edie?
Yes. Nearly up to Rankins?
Yes. Yes, nearly up to there, didn't it?
Up to where?
Nearly up to... Well, no, because they built...
Hawthorne Drive.
Where Mrs. Ducker... I'm on the other side of the road. Where Mrs. Ducker's bungalow... Up to Mrs. Ducker's bungalow. That was all wood, wasn't it? From there right through to Inglethorpe.
Yes.
Yeah, and it wasn't just a few sparse trees, you know, that was sort of quite thick wood,
quite
wasn't
a thick
it? Quite dark, really, if, you know, made you a bit nervous if you came along there in the dark. Yeah.
And then they, of course, built the wood side close and all along there.
Yeah.
Mm. You see, I'm 10 years older than Maisie, you see.
So we can't always
say the same thing because I'm 10 years older than her.
Yes.
You see?
Yes.
And the other side of the road you were talking about was Park Hill, wasn't it, Edie? That was a park. And of course, you see, Edie lived the other side of the village. She didn't live, didn't you?
Yeah.
So that makes a difference.
You see, I lived around the other side
of the village.
Out towards the heath.
Yeah, Man Road.
Yes. And as I said, we didn't,
you know, where
until Edie moved this side, you didn't come this side much, did you, Edie?
You know where John Lincoln's funeral parlour is?
Yes.
Well, there's a letterbox on the corner, there was. And we lived in a little cottage just opposite that.
And, of course, the Heath, there weren't really many houses in Heath Road in those days, were there?
No, there's one or two new bungalows there, but there wasn't too many, was there?
It's only the new ones, Edie, because the older ones were there, weren't they?
Yeah, but there's one or two bungalows that have been built. Yeah. Where Dorothy Cross lived.
Yes.
And Mr. Carr.
Mr. Carr, but not. And not then another one on the other side, three.
Where Eric Cross lived. About that's three. Always been there. Because Miss Mann lived there, didn't she?
Yeah.
Then the everyday bridegroom. Yeah. Yeah.
And would you say there was people felt that there was rich people in the village as well as poor people, or were you
Yes. The Stantons and the Lloyd Pratts and
there's always in business people, weren't there? Yes. The shopkeepers and things were
always. Oh, we was always the poor people.
We were the labourers and
we was the labour, yeah, we was the poor
labouring class.
Yes.
We never had a lot of money. When we were small, did we?
Didn't bother us, did it?
No, we never went without anything. But we never had a lot of money to